Well, I tell you what, I'm gonna open it with a prayer, and there's a collect that I wanted us to pray together. I can just pray it at you, and we'll do that to get crack-a-lacking here. So, the Lord be with you. Let us pray. God, thank you for this time. Thank you for this group of people, for all these folks that are interested in how Christians are to be faithful in political systems and in a time when politics feels like such a divisive and difficult topic to talk about. Give us imagination about being your alternative kind of people in a land of division and polarities and kind of either ors. We pray, O God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, our only Savior, the Prince of Peace, give us grace seriously to lay to heart the great dangers we are in by our unhappy divisions. Take away all hatred and prejudice, and whatever else may hinder us from godly union and concord, that, as there is but one body and one spirit, one hope of our calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, so we may be of one heart and one soul, united in one holy bond of truth and peace, of faith and charity, and that we may with one mind and one mouth glorify you through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. So thank you. I'm going to take back some of the things I said about you. I appreciate that. Yes. Thank you, Matthew. Okie doke. Look at this. Now we're cooking with gas. Here we go. All right. This was the prayer we prayed. Is it up there yet? No? Still working? Okay. Well, I'm going to just kind of continue on while John Lewis is stuck trying to fix this thing. Thank you, John Lewis. Let me try to give you a monitor check on this thing, too. That might be part of the problem. We'll just let him fight with it. This class is called The Governance of God. It is about what it would mean to be politically Christian. Does that mean no slides? I'm just reading your nonverbal communication is telegraphing something to me. I'm getting signals. I really don't know what we're doing. It's a little political, it feels like, to me. So here's some of what I want to do. 6 weeks from now, we're all going to be sitting in this room, and we will have had an election. We don't know what's going to happen in that election, but whatever has happened on that election, the Sunday afterward, we are going to be a divided country, right? Like, this is a serious time in terms of the level of vitriol, the kind of rhetoric that we're in the middle of, and the sense of real kind of combative divisiveness across political parties. I almost had you. Like, we were on this. You were like, yes, preacher, tell me more. So what I'm hoping to do here is, first off, remind us every week to pray, okay? I'm going to give you some categories, I hope, that help you navigate a world that is super divided. Like, and everything from how do you think about politics and being a Christian and being political, but also how do you deal with, like, all the people that you talk to that have a different point of view from you, and you just think they are a crazy person, right? Like the person that leans over the cubicle at work and is like, I got to show you this email I got. Or, you know, your uncle at Thanksgiving dinner that you're like, I don't even want to bring it up around this person because it's going to get weird. How do you deal with that? How do you talk about difficult stuff with people? We all know this tension, right? Like, how do we even go there? So I'm hoping that we're going to be able to do some of that. But then also, I want to remind us every week that the hope of the world is not the United States, and it is not the person that sits in the White House. The hope of this world is Jesus, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. God is the only God. Yahweh, God, is the only true God. And we have a part to play, right, as citizens of the world in the United States. But I'm going to tell you something. Our hope is not in a person holding an office in this country. And so, if we believe that to be true, it can raise our anxiety. If we let someone that's running for office tell us that, It might motivate us to vote for them, but it may also be putting somebody in God's place. And there's a word for that, right? Which is called idolatry. So I want us just to remember what the stakes really are, right? How high they go. Because if in these conversations we end up sacrificing our relationships to one another for some sort of political ideology, we have bowed down to a false god, and we are no longer bearing witness to the true God who says, people are going to know who my disciples are by their unity, right? So, does that sound like a good thing? All right, we're going to do it. Now, in theory, so what do you think percentage chance is that I might get slides? All right, here we go. John Lewis, thank you so much. Can we give John a hand? Because he is... As I've gotten to know John, I realized, like, this is the anxiety dream that he wakes up from. And it's like, is that something's going wrong and he has to fix it in front of a whole bunch of people. All right, so you're good. So tell me real fast, first thing. When you hear the word politics, what words come to your mind? Throw them out.
Fear.
Fear, what else? Corruption, what was it? Sleaze. Anger, sleaze. What else?
Vitriol,
what else? Contact sports.
Untruthful.
Divisiveness. Corruption. What else? Good people. All right. Truthfully, that's where we're going. So, we have all these words that instantly come to mind, right? Divisiveness, corruption, sleazy. Vitriol, contact sports, all these things come up, right? When we think of politics, do you know what my goal is for this class? This first class, my only goal, one goal, I'm going to convince you that politics is a good word. I'm going to try to persuade you that politics is a good thing, okay? So, let me show you what I'm talking about. So the roots of this word, which I would have shown you on my slide, my first slide, the roots of the word politics come from Latin and Greek, right? And in Greek, it is the word, it comes from the word polis, which means people. In the early modern English, this word, the ancient rendering of the that has become the word politics is politique. Isn't that awesome? Politique. For the French, it was politique. For Latin, it was politikos. And it basically means, okay, of relating or pertaining to the citizens, okay? So politics, the word, it's about the citizens. It is about the arrangement of the common life of the people of a certain area. That's politics. Politics is about people, and it's about how people organize themselves. You're a good man. That's impressive. Do we have the clicker so I can shuttle slides? Oh, you're so good. Thank you, John Lewis. Other words come from this word. The word polite comes from this word, right? Polite is how the citizens of a polis will relate to each other, right? It's the proper way to be in relationship. The word metropolis is the word meter, which means mother, polis, which means city. And so you've got the mother city, cosmopolitan, right? Was that you? Aw. Hey, Vestry, that was walkie-talkies, just so you know. We got walkie-talkies. That's what they sound like. So basically, the deal is, when we're talking about politics, we are talking about the arrangement that it takes for citizens, for people, to live and work together. It is about the way we organize ourselves to serve our common good, okay? What that means is that politics are necessary. Politics are vital. Politics have to happen in order for us to live together and serve any kind of common good among us. We have to have politics, okay? It is the arrangement for our common good. Now, the thing is that when I asked you what are politics, instantly all of our stuff is like negative, right? Except for Robert. He's like, come on, throw me a bone here, right? Like it's all this, and it's because when we think of politics, immediately we go to these sort of abstract arguments, we go to personalities, frustrations, right? And what I'm gonna try to argue is that that is bad politics, right? But politics is necessary. Politics is vital for us to have any sort of common good among us, okay? Now, that means that politics, by this definition, by its definition, is super practical, okay? So, this here, I'm gonna show you this. There we go. I was gonna tell you about the class, we're skipping it. It's a good thing, okay. And here we go, and there we go, and there we go. Okay, this is the Elledge Wastewater Treatment Plant, all right? My son's class went on a field trip here. Who's been to the wastewater treatment plant? Who still remembers what it smelled like? Right? Yes! It burns a memory in the mind. Basically, the Elledge Wastewater Treatment Plant, it's built on 75 acres in a low-lying area because this is kind of how water runoff comes into this space. The plant has a capacity to handle 51 million gallons of water a day. Right now, they handle about 32 million gallons, which is 11.84 billion gallons of treated water a year. All right? Now, that water gets treated at the plant, and there are, in 2012, it said they removed 23,943 tons of pollutants. Okay? Now, in our state, all right, there are 2,855, there are about 2,800 basically tons of certain pollutants that can remain in water and for it still to be safely discharged into the creek that it goes into. But this plant right here, last year only let out 746 of those pollutants into the water. So they're doing really, really good. They have a 98% efficiency rate, okay? Now, they basically take sludge out of water and return the water to us so we can drink it. This is a great thing, isn't it? Now, why am I bringing this up, okay? Well, this leads to all kinds of questions because we all need water, right? How do you get your water? Chris, how do you get your water? You turn on the tap, it flows out, right? You're on city water, right? So you're serviced by the Elledge plant. So here's the thing. When it comes to us and getting water and the Elledge plant, well, who decides where we're going to build this plant? Who figured that out? How are we going to get the land? Where's it going to come from? Who knew it needed to be in a low-lying area, right? We needed to ask that question. How much is it going to cost to build the plant? Who's going to do the labor? Who should pay for it? How much should that be allocated to private citizens? How much should corporations pay for it? How do we allocate tax money for the building of this treatment plant and not take it away from other things we might need? If we have to take it away from something that in order to make sure we have safe water, who decides what it gets moved from and how it gets taken away? What are the influences that they have that help them make that decision? What wisdom do they bring to the table? Who are they talking to about that? Now, of the 23,943 tons of pollutants that are allowed to be in the water, that were removed from the water, how could they decide, who decided which ones could stay in the water? And how was that decision made? And what conversation did they have about that? And what experts were brought in? Do you see how all of these questions are questions of politics? All of them are about how we make decisions to serve our common good. They're super practical, right? They're ruthlessly practical, and they are vital for us to have any kind of common life where, in this case, we get water, okay? Okay, here's another thing. The worst intersection in Winston-Salem is this one. This is 5 points. This thing is like a Rubik's Cube built inside the Gordian knot. Like, when we moved to town, Kristen would call me and be like, what is this intersection? There are 5 roads, and none of the ways that you approach the intersection indicate which way the road will kick you off if you're trying to go. All I want to do is go to Miller Street. I keep ending up down Country Club. I can't get there, you know. So, 5 points. So, a couple months ago, they repaved a portion of this intersection, okay? They took parts of Stratford Road, because paving came down Stratford, and then it, It turned here to the right and went back up Stratford Road. It didn't go down Miller or onto Country Club or into Northwest. It didn't go anywhere else. It just went up Stratford, right? Now, they did the paving. You might not have seen it because they did it at night, all right? And because it's such a busy intersection, and I happened to come across them one night because I was out late. And I came in. I'm like, oh, my gosh, there's, like, an entire work crew, and they've got, like, huge spotlights up, and they're working, and they've guys are digging, and it's, I mean, it's like radios are going. It's party time out there while they're paving it. Okay, so this raises political questions, okay? Who decided when it was time to repave this portion of Stratford Road? Why didn't they pick Miller Street? Why didn't we do Country Club? When is Country Club going to happen? What about Northwest Boulevard? When is that going to happen? Or First Street? How about, like, how did that decision get made? Who scheduled it? Who decided that we should do it at night versus the day? What was the sort of allocation of time and resource that was allotted to get that done? Who got the tools and equipment? Where did they come from? How did they know what we needed? Where did they find the people to work those shifts? How were they paid? How much were they paid? Should they be paid more because they're working through the middle of the night while all of us sleep and it doesn't have to affect us getting to Publix? Right? How are those decisions made? Who priced it? How do we pay for it? These are questions of politics, right? These are all political questions. This is the practical dimension of the political process. It is about serving our common good. We need roads. Good heavens, we need roads. Like, we're so, like, babied here because we don't really have severe winters. But in Pittsburgh, after the winter, it was just like pothole central, you know? And it was just like, it was like whack-a-mole, trying to avoid them and not get your car, your axle broken, okay? Again, similar stuff has to go with this. Who's seen a nutritional label, right? Same kind of deal. Like, we, in my family, we live with type 1 diabetes. We're forever checking nutritional labels, right? Always. Who decided when we needed to put nutritional labels on food? Who enforces that need? We all, I mean, did anybody have that experience when you looked at a nutritional label and you thought, oh man, I shouldn't put that in my body, right? Any parents have anxiety about their kids eating stuff once they saw the nutritional label, right? This is Jif peanut butter. You're like, how much sugar is in that? Holy mackerel. So, what, and then to your kids, hey kids, this is a serving size, 2 tablespoons, right? Not a cup measurer full. So the process by which things get studied, information comes out, labels are put on food, politics. We need politics. We have to have politics. They are vital for us to have any kind of common good among us, for us to thrive, for humans to flourish, for us to be able to have life. We need politics. Are you with me? At least on that. Okay. Now, a couple of questions then that come up for me. Power, influence, and control, a couple of words. So when we do talk about politics and we start to evaluate it, you have to ask questions about the process itself, okay? If it's a necessary thing, if it's vital for human flourishing, well, then we need to ask questions about power. For example, who gets to make what decisions, right? The people that make those decisions about our water, about food, about pavement, right? Why do they have the power? Were they given the power? Were they elected to that power? Were they elected to office and then ascribed that power by people that are already elected in office? Like, you ask questions about, like, how does that power get allocated? Who has the authority to make stuff happen in our world for our common good? Okay, and then you have to ask questions about influence, right? So the people that have the power and the people that can make these decisions, what kind of influence, they've been given influence, how do they use it, right? What is the way in which someone that is given that that charge and that responsibility, how do they use it? And then likewise, what are the influences that are on them? You know, you ask, and this is some of where we touched on, you know, are the way that they're making the decisions, is it trying to benefit, like, the most of us? Or are there, like, backdoor deals or something where somebody makes a decision that just benefits the person that maybe gave their campaign money, right? These are questions that you ask about the process. And then lastly, control. So how much control does this shared arrangement that we live in, sometimes called the government, mostly called the government, how much control should it have? Like, where are the places that we need rules and we need some regulations? We need to put some stuff in place because it's like the Wild West over here. And then where are the places that we say, nope, that we have too many rules? The rules are what are gumming up and causing problems to our flourishing as a people. we as a people are not doing well because there's too many rules, and we need to strip them back and pull them back, right? How far do the rules go? Like, where are the places in our common life that we're like, yeah, we can all make decisions about that. That's fine. But when it comes to this place in my personal or private life, the rules don't extend here. That is a place for personal decision. You get to choose what you want. Like, how do we determine when, how far those rules come in, how far they go out? These are all, you see how fascinating this is, right? These are all questions of politics, which means, again, that you need politics. You want politics. You are the beneficiary of politics. You turn on your water, right? And it comes out and it's clean. You go to the store and you can figure out what a serving size of peanut butter is. You know, you drive on Stratford Road and you're like, this is the most amazing streets of gold or paved with gold because the new pavement is so good. We are the beneficiaries of these services, of this system, okay? So remember that when we get frustrated and when you feel like politics is just dumb and it's stupid and I'm so mad, we shouldn't talk about politics and, you know, and this sort of, this impulse, we're not talking about politics. We're talking about bad politics, right? And so I think we can make progress if we just, in this instance, start to qualify what kind of politics we're talking about when we voice our frustrations, right? We could be making some progress just right there. If we're like, okay, yeah, politics, it's necessary, it's vital. I'm frustrated with some of the bad politics I'm seeing, with politics that are not serving the common good, with politics that are not interested in human flourishing for all of us, right? That frustrates me, okay? So let's add some words to that. And I'm moving kind of fast here, but this is getting good. Okay, so let me tell you why. Hold on. Come on now. Get it. Oh, there you go. Okay, so I went on the Winston-Salem Forsyth County webpage, and I found this. If you don't know, Robert Clark, who's over here, is one of our councilmen. He serves the West District, which means that Robert is one of those people that has been given influence, has been given power, has been given control over some of these very processes. So if you want to know when are they going to pave Country Club Road, Robert could probably tell you, right? He's in the mix. Because he lives on Country Club Road, but would not abuse his power. So like, these are the questions that Robert deals with all the time. There's a rash of break-ins in cars in my neighborhood, and they had a meeting about it to discuss like what was going on and what wasn't. Guess who held the meeting? Robert, right? Because he is a representative, okay? And he is somebody that's been given charge in this political process. Now, this is what I find so fascinating. Also, by the way, if we want to have a block party on Oaklawn, do we need to close the street off and rent barricades, or can we just have it? All right, so the political question is, we want to have a block party. How do we do that? Robert knows, and we have to have insurance. Okay, so we've got to remember that. Now, so here's the thing. This is what's so cool about this, I think, is that Robert lives on Country Club Road, right? He's here every Sunday. You will routinely see him walking his dogs, hanging out. I went on the website for the Winston-Salem Forsyth County government structure. What's it called? What's our website called? Anyway, and Robert's picture is up there. I could find my council member. And look up there. It's got his home address, his home phone, and his cell phone on the website. Okay? Why? I know you guys are like, I wouldn't put that up there. Why? Why is that up there, Robert? Why do you have home address, cell phone? But it rings, I called you on it, and you picked it right up, you know? So everybody call it right now. So here's what I think is so fascinating, okay? Robert knows that at the heart of politics is service. And I think lurking in that cell phone and that home address, and even in your accessibility, okay, is this noble impulse that is inside politics that is to serve, is to care for people. It's not like, you know, you make tons of money being the West City Council member, right, for Winston-Salem, you know. It's not like you have a job that people are always coming up to you saying, I love what you're doing and thank you, right? Like, you had a job where people are complaining, they're griping, and we talked about this, they grab them at church, you know? Like, you're going to communion, and they're like, hey, when are they going to get that brush out of my yard, or whatever it is, like, they're fussing at them about stuff. But in that accessibility, I think, is this noble impulse that lurks at the heart of all politics, which is service. Because at its best, political process and those that manage it, they are servants, and they serve us to help us all serve each other. So go ahead and write Robert's cell phone number down. He will pick up if you call. I was texting him gift pictures all night. No, I'm kidding. I wasn't. So it is easy to talk about those idiots over there in the other party that don't get it. It is easy to get cynical and be like, everybody's corrupt in politics. It is easy to throw stones and decide that people, that they don't get it, and they're misinformed, and they're idiots. It's totally easy to do that, okay? It takes character, courage, and wisdom to say, that's bad politics. I think politics can be better. How could I talk about it in a way that illustrates that truth and doesn't cede the word politics to corruption, to darkness? Let's take it back. Let's take the word politics back. Let's use it like it's meant to be used. Let's be a people that bears an alternative witness to what politics is. And maybe, just maybe, it should be Christians that do it first. Because if we truly do see the image of the divine in every single person, even people that vote differently than us, then we really have no other option. And we can demonstrate that we really think that Jesus is king and nobody else by the way we engage, talk about, and reflect upon politics. Right? Politics is a good word. You need it. Let's reclaim it. Amen? Okay. Now, here's my challenge. Let's see here. Okay, we're going to pray this at the end, which might be right now. Okay, I should have done this sooner. All right, what I've got right here is I've got a clipboard, and on it there's a spot to put your name and your email, and there's a little thing at the end that's supposed to be a box, but I couldn't make a box happen, called Conversation Partner. I want to invite you into a spiritual practice, okay? I want to see if you're willing to kind of put your relationship where your mouth is on this thing. If we really are people that are going to bear an alternative witness, if we're going to show the world there's a different way to live, if we're going to proclaim that Jesus is king and not the Republicans and the Democrats, then we might need to learn to talk to each other. We might need to learn to love each other through difference. We might need to learn how to and rehearse how to humanize each other in the face of political difference, in the face of a system that has been teaching us a lot lately that if you're not for us, you're against us, man. And if you're against me, I'm coming for you, right? So here's the invitation. Give me your name and your email, okay? I am going to generate an email list for this class because I want to send you all articles every week. I've got 6 articles. I didn't want to print like 2,000 pages worth of paper to give them out today. If you need a hard copy, I can do it. But I've got articles to go along every week with this class. The one I'm going to send out this week is from Dr. Bill Leonard. It's about why we're supposed to talk about politics in church, okay? So I'm going to send that out to you if you sign up on the list. If you put a little, if you indicate, though, over here, if you say yes to conversation partner, what I'm going to do is I'm going to take everybody that signs up with a yes, I'm going to make an email list of my own, and I'm going to send out an email to all of you that said yes, and it's going to be a blind copy email, so you won't see anybody else who's on it. And then you will respond to me in that email with how you voted in the last election, okay? And then what I'm going to do is I'm going to play matchmaker. And I'm going to take everybody that voted Republican, I'm going to put you with somebody that voted Democrat. And they're going to be your buddy through the middle of November. And you're invited in this class and during these months to meet together and just be friends. And then as your friends, to try to talk a little bit about where you at, how you leaning. And you're going to try to do it without being snarky. You're going to try to do it without bringing out all your talking points from whatever pundit you learn. You're going to try to do it in a way that loves them. Do you have the courage to follow Jesus this way? That's what I'm putting out there. The fishers do not. You can tell. So, what I'm going to do is I'm just going to go ahead and start sending this around. If for some reason you don't get to it, you can just send me an email and I'll add you to the list. Thank you all so much. I'll give it to Chris first here. Let me just close this in prayer because I got to get it over to the... You know what? No, this doesn't take that long. This is a little litany. We're going to do this little litany. This is from the prayer book for sound government. Okay? So let's please stand and let's pray this together. O Lord, our governor, bless the leaders of our land that we may be a people at peace among ourselves and a blessing to other nations of the earth. Let's just keep it going all together. Lord, keep this nation under your care. To the president and the members of the cabinet, to governors of states, mayors of cities, and to all in administrative authority, including Robert Clark, grant wisdom and grace in the exercise of their duties. Give grace to your servants, O Lord. To senators and representatives and those who make our laws in states, cities, and towns, give courage, wisdom, and foresight to provide for the needs of all our people and to fulfill our obligations in the community of nations. Give grace to your servants, O Lord. To the judges and officers of our courts, give understanding and integrity, that human rights may be safeguarded and justice served. Give grace to your servants, O Lord. And finally, teach our people to rely on your strength and to accept their responsibilities to their fellow citizens, that they may elect trustworthy leaders and make wise decisions for the well-being of our society, that we may serve you faithfully in our generation and honor your holy name. For yours is the kingdom, O Lord, and you are exalted as head above all. Amen. Peace, everybody. See you next week. Sign up. Send me an email. Thank you.